Alter Rebbe writes in Likutei Torah that in order to experience Shabbos, on Shabbos, you have to experience Shabbos every day of the week. And what's the Shabbos of every day of the week? Davening. The davening of Sunday, of Monday, of Tuesday, that's the Shabbos of that day. He said, when you experience the Shabbos of every day of the week, so all the six Shabboses now come together and they explode on the seventh day. But if Shabbos during the 6 days didn't happen, so he says, seventh day also won't happen in a conscious way. There was a lovely story that occurred to one of the great Hasidim of the Alter Rebbe, of the Mittler Rebbe, of the Tzemach Tzedek. His name was Reb Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Epstein. He's known in the Chabad lexicon as Reb Isaac Hummeler. He was the chief rabbi of the famous Russian city Hummel, a brilliant Talmud Chacham, an author of various works. We mentioned him in chapter 42, Chana Ariel and other books. And a very spiritual person and very profound human being. The Tzemach Tzedek once sent him as an emissary of his to the holy, great Hasidic master, Rabbi Yisrael Ruzhiner. The Halakha Ruzhiner was one of the greatest masters of his time and had a very close, intimate relationship with the Tzemach Tzedek. He sent Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Hummeler as his agent to the Ruzhiner to discuss an issue that was extremely urgent to the life of Russian Jewry. Reb Eisel arrived to the Ruzhiner Friday morning. Now Friday, the Ruzhiner would never see anybody. Prepare for Shabbos. And he arrived Friday midday. But when they told him who came, from Russia, Jew Reb Isaac came, a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek, he said, let him come in. And he says, Reb Isaac told the story. He says, I went into the room, it was Friday afternoon, and we schmoozed for 4 hours. And it seemed like we were friends, we were colleagues. He was listening to what I had to say. He asked me what I thought. He told me his advice. And it was a burning issue that was extremely relevant, and as I mentioned, to the entire community, to the millions of Jews who lived in Russia, some new decree of the government. So they spoke and analyzed it and dissected it. Tzemach Tzedek wanted to know his opinion and his view. And Reb Isaac was seeking his counsel, and they went back and forth. And Reb Isaac felt very comfortable in his presence. They were exchanging ideas and plans and feelings in a very mutual and friendly way. Reb Isaac said, you know, I felt the word term used chaver lap. I felt very friendly with him. As the day was progressing, he says, the Ruzhiner took out a pipe and he lit up his pipe. And he said, the smoke rose and it filled the room. And he continued to talk about the politics in Russia and the various ministers and government officials. His secretary, his shamish, his assistant, knocks on the door and he says, come in. And he comes in and he says, Rebbe, Lichtenstein is in 10 minutes. And the Ruzhiner says, thank you. But he continues smoking the pipe and talking about Russian politics as though, you know, he has a whole day ahead of him. And I started to feel uncomfortable. You know, every Jew, Lichtenstein is coming, you become a little sensitive, a little jumpy, but he's relaxed, he's smoking his pipe, he has nothing to do. And he says, at this point in the conversation, we were really talking about very unnoble themes. They were important, but we were talking about the nature of the anti-Semitism and discussing the Tsar's politics and schemes. It wasn't Shabbos-like discussion. But he's going on and on as though nothing occurred. 5 minutes later, there's a knock on the door, and the shamish comes in, and he says, Rebbe, Lichtenstein is in 5 minutes. So I thought, now he'll stop the conversation. No, he goes on. And he asked me, what about this, and what about this city, and so forth. The shamash comes in a few minutes later and says, Rebbe, there's 1 minute left to Lichtenstein. And he says, Derujinah leans back on his chair, continues to smoke the pipe, and asks me another question. He says, I couldn't understand. He says, a minute later, he puts down the pipe, he extinguishes it. He stops the conversation. He gets up from this chair, and Rabbi Zal says he walks over to the window. And he looks out the window. And he says, Russischer Gon, that's what he called him, Russischer Gon, Russian, brilliant Torah scholar. Would you like to come over to the window and look how the world looks like on Shabbos? Gaze at the world on Shabbos. So he says, I came over to the window and I looked out the window. So then I looked at the Ruzhina's face, and Rabbi Zal began crying when he would said the story, and he said in the Chigizen, he said in Yiddish, and I'll translate the Chigizen, as Eriz Aruf Lamai Lamailo and Irbin Geblibin Lamata Mata. He says, at that moment I saw that the Ruzhina went up to the highest heights, and I remained here below. And he would demonstrate, he says, you know, for 4 hours I felt like a friend. I didn't know who Derujinah was, what a Rebbe is. He said, at that moment, there was no preparation, but Shabbos came. He says, I remained who I was. I remained etched in the materialistic world. He says, he looked out the window, Lichtenstein came, and he was somewhere else. Now, that's Shabbos. In fact, when Derujinah was a child, when he was a child in school, the same man, Rabbi Yisrael of Ruzhin, the Rebbe, the teacher, was learning with them the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Samach Tesamet Beis, you know the Gemara. If you were going in the desert and you lost count of the days and you don't know when Shabbos is, what do? So there's an argument. One opinion is you count 6 days and then you keep Shabbos, the seventh day. Another opinion is you keep Shabbos and then you count 6 days and you keep Shabbos and you count 6 days till you get out of the desert. The argument is, do you count 6 days like the creation of the world was 6 days followed by Shabbos? Or do you celebrate Shabbos like Adam Harishon? He was created and the first night was Shabbos. And then you count 6 days. So the Rebbe taught the Gemara to them, and the Ruzhina, who had a good mind, raised his hand and said, I don't understand the case. So the teacher says, okay, I'll explain it again. So he explains the Gemara again. He was walking in the desert, he doesn't know when Shabbos is. He says, Rebbe, I still don't understand. So he explains it again. And a third time he says, I'm sorry, but I just don't understand. He says, what don't you understand? What's so complicated? A guy is lost and he just doesn't know when Shabbos is. He's in a desert. How is he supposed to know? He says, what do you mean, how is he supposed to know? Let him look up at the heavens. The heavens change on Shabbos. How could you not know when Shabbos came? That happened to the Ruzhina. There's a story about the Alter Rebbe in the early years in Liozhna. When the Alter Rebbe lived in Liozhna, one Saturday night, Mitzoy Shabbos, Chassidim walked by the private chamber of the Alter Rebbe's office, and they heard the Alter Rebbe singing his famous melody on the words, I stand corrected. They walked by the private office, mixed up with another story. They walked by the private chamber of the Alter Rebbe, and they heard the Alter Rebbe singing. And they put their ear to the door, and they heard that the Alter Rebbe, it was obvious that the Alter Rebbe was in another world. He was involved in a very deep meditation, and this is what he was saying over and over again. He quoted a verse in Shir Hashirim, Poshatiti es kutonti echochel b'shena, rachatzti es raglai echochat anfe. I removed my shirt. How can I don it again? I washed my legs. How can I make them dirty? And Alter Rebbe was saying, Pashatati eskutanti. Erev Shabbos farshkiyas. Friday before sunset, I removed the shirt of my shirt of the 6 days of the week. Echachel b'shena. How can I put it on again? Rachatzti esraglai. Friday before sunset, I washed my legs from the mundaneness of the 6 days of the week. Echacha tanfim. Now mitzoy Shabbos. How can I make them dirty again? And Alter Rebbe began thundering. How, after Shabbos, how can I go back? How can I go back? If I might add, I think this even says in Chassidus, if I'm not, it says. You know, Saturday night, I mean, at least in cosmopolitan, in Jewish New York, Mitzoy Shabbos, a lot of Jews that I know feel that they have to go out. They have to do something. Mitzoy Shabbos, you have to do something. What are you doing, Mitzoy Shabbos? Whatever it is, everybody on their own level. For some people, it's a mitzvah in our Torah to go eat pizza. Or whatever, everybody has their own agenda. Based on who they are, their level. But not to do something is like a crime. What's the reason? The real reason for it is because Mitzvah Shabbos, there's a certain emptiness that the soul experiences. I like to call it post-Shabbos syndrome. It's just a certain hollowness. And therefore, to alleviate that stress, we go try to fill the void through materialistic pleasures, to substitute the void. It doesn't really help the void. It's a different type of void. You have to substitute it through the Gemara. But that's the experience. So in any case, this is what Alter Rebbe says here. And Alter Rebbe adds that even a mashu chametz, right, a slice of bread, or itiltul mukta. And you know what mukta literally means? That which is set apart. Why does he add these two things? Both of these are rabbinic institutions. The rabbis are the ones who instituted that even a mashu chametz, even a drop of leavened bread that falls into a large mixture of food that is not chametz. And in all other instances, it would be nullified. Nonetheless, chametz is so severe that even a drop that falls into a huge pot, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to derive benefit from. It's a rabbinic institution. The Alter Rebbe discusses this at length in Hilchos Pesach, in Siman Tov Mem Zayin. The same is true, tiltul mukta. The halacha of mukta is an institution of the rabbis. It was first developed, the Gemara says, in Shabbos through Nehemiah, when the Jews came back to build Bayis Sheni. The sages, the prophets, and then the rabbis instituted that certain things on Shabbos we should not carry around. Even though we're not transferring from domain to domain, in your home, certain things you don't carry. This is called muktzah. And there are very many laws and details, what yes and what not, and so forth. So these are two rabbinic institutions. So even the rabbis also didn't differentiate between the tzaddik and the boor. For everybody, they said that to do this is blemishing, violating the sanctity in your soul. They also didn't make any distinction. Now, Alter Rebbe is Torah Achas L'Kolano, right? Everybody has the same Torah. It's interesting. This Torah Achas L'Kolano, here is another classical example of how the Alter Rebbe and Tanya breeded or synthesized Kabbalah and Halacha. Torah Achas L'Kolano basically means mysticism, over there, everybody is different. But halacha, technical Judaism, there, everybody is alike. And there was always the dichotomy and the fragmentation between the Jews who were very mystically oriented and the Jews who were very, so to speak, practical oriented, dealing with those realistic day-to-day responsibilities of halacha that apply to everybody. And here is a very characteristic of the Alter Rebbe, how suddenly it becomes synthesized. The Alter Rebbe says, of course, Torah Achas L'Kolano. Halach is the essence of Judaism. Mitzvahs are identical for everybody. Muktzah is for everybody. The holy Rabbi Yisrael of Ruzhin and the most illiterate ignoramus, who's coarse, who's a peasant. But why? Not because Judaism is not spiritual. Not because Judaism doesn't have mysticism to it. But because the sanctity of Shabbos, the mystique of Shabbos, is experienced in everybody's soul. Let's just conclude the chapter. He now adds something in the parentheses. Zogdal to Rebbe. Umasha kosuv behemus loshen rabim. As to the plural form, behemus. Back to the verse of Asaph in Tehillim 73. The beginning of the verse is all stated in a singular form. V'ani bar v'loy eda, I am foolish and I know not. And then he says, behemos hayisi imach. Like animals, I have been with you. He should say, apparently, behemos hayisi imach. Me, I am like one animal. I'm not like beasts, like animals, like one animal. You're talking about, if you're talking about a community of people, we are foolish, we don't know, we are like animals even when we're with you. And we are nonetheless continuously with you, we understand. But he says, I am foolish, I don't know, and nonetheless, I am continuously with you. So you should say, behema yisimach. Why the plural form? So the Alter Rebbe says something very interesting here, and very comforting. He says, l'ramez, this intimates Kilufon of Yisbarach, that before Hashem, Gamchin is Das HaElyon, even the level called Das HaElyon, which means the higher supernal knowledge, HaKoylul Chesed Gvura, which comprises the spiritual spheres of Chesed, of attraction, Gvura, rejection, love and awe. So even that highest level of das, nidme ki behema isvasiya gufnis lagabe erin sof, can be considered like animals and physical creation when compared with the energy of the endless one of the Ein Sof. Kamesha kosov. As the Pasuk expresses itself in Tehillim 104, Kulam b'chachma sisa, you made them all. You made all the creations and all the universes with chachma, with wisdom. You made them all with wisdom. Chassidus explains that Kulam b'chachma sisa literally means you made it all with wisdom. You created everything through wisdom. But Chassidus emphasizes that there is a deeper significance conveyed in these words. Because technically speaking, you don't make things with wisdom. You conceive ideas through wisdom. You make things, I see a physical, concrete things, through physical instruments. So obviously, you say, that's what it means. You made it through wisdom. But Chassidus says it's meticulous. What the Pasuk is trying to tell us is that for Hashem, Chachma is like a physical instrument. Chachma is another thing. Chachma is intelligence. Wisdom is a stuff. It's a material, like a physical material that he invented to do things through it. So that's the kulam b'chachma sisa. Why? Because Hashem should not be defined by the fact that he's intelligent. Although you'll think, of course Hashem is not corporal, but intelligent, wise, those are inherent qualities that he has. Hashem has wisdom. So Chassidus says no. Ein Sof transcends every type of definition. Even the highest form, the highest spiritual form of expression, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, that can be compared to physicality, to a stone, to a rock, which is created, which is invented. So the Alter Rebbe says, therefore, even the highest form of das, the highest form of spiritual knowledge, which is the source of Chesed and Gevura, is also, relative to Ein Sof, can be deemed like a behema. And a behema doesn't have das. A behemoth doesn't have that spiritual wisdom. So even the highest spiritual wisdom of the highest spiritual world, relative to Hashem, that experience can be called a behemish experience, a beast-like experience. In other words, you don't get it. You just don't get it. This is called, as explained elsewhere, the level of Behema Rabba, a great beast, denoting that level of animal which transcends understanding rather than the level of animal which lacks comprehension. There's a Behema that's inferior to Das, and there's the Behema in a sense that is higher than regular Das. A Behema means you lack, you're not defined by Das, by regular wisdom. So there's that Behema which is inferior, and there's that Behema which transcends regular Das, and that's Das HaElyon. The highest form of Das, which transcends regular Das. Behema Rabba paraphrases the Pasuk in Yonah, and Yonah and Jonah and Perek Dalet. Chassidus uses this term to describe this level as Behema Rabba. So why is it called Behema? So it works both ways. On one level, because it transcends human intellect and human knowledge. On a deeper level, relative to the Ein Sof, this experience is also a Behema-like experience, in the sense that it doesn't get it. And Alter Rebbe says, V'hu Shem Ban, this is known as the supernal name of Ban, the Gematria Behema, which has the numerical equivalent of the Hebrew word Behema, a beast, Shelifnei Atzilus, which is on the level even preceding the world of Atzilus. The highest world of the four spiritual worlds explained at length in chapter 39, the world of intimacy, the world of oneness with Hashem, the highest world of Atzilus. Let me just explain this and conclude with this. Kabbalah explains that there are four names of Hashem that are frequently used in the Kabbalistic and Hasidic literature. They're known as the name of Ma, the name of Ban, the name of Sag, and the name of Av. Now, how do these come to define various names of Hashem? Basically, it's four ways through which you can spell out the tetragrammaton, Hashem's essential name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. And please follow with me and bear with me for a moment. If you spell out Yud Kei Vav Kei with alephs, the number you will come up with is 45, which will be Shema, Mem Hei, 45. Which means, if you spell out Yud Kei Vav Kei as follows, Yud Vav Dalet, how much do you have? Yud is 10, Vav Dalet is 10. 10, so 20. Next letter, Hei Aleph, 6. Then you have Vav, spell out Vav, Vav Aleph Vav. 13, and then another Hey Aleph is another 6, 45. This is called Milui Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. I'm sorry, this is called Yud Kei Vav Kei B'Milui Alfin. You fill up the words of Yud Kei Vav Kei with Aleph. So Hey is spelled Hey Aleph. Vav is Vav Aleph Vav. Next, if you fill up Yud Kei Vav Kei B'Milui Heyin, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey, instead of spelling it Hey Aleph, spell it Hey Hey. Vav, spell Vav Vav. You can't put in a Hey there. Vav Vav. The next Hey, again Hey Hey. So Yud is 20. Hey Hey, 10, 30. Vav Vav, 12, 42. Hey Hey, another 10. What do you have? 52. Shem Ban. What's the numerology of Ban? Behema. Behem is 42. What's the numerology of Adam? Adam. 45. Shema. Yud Kevavke with Alephs creates Adam. Shem Ban creates Behema. Then there's Sag and Av. We won't get into it. Those are even higher. Sag is Yud Vav Dalet. And you have to now fill up the Hays with Yuds. Yud Kei Vav Kei B'Milu Yudin. So Yud Vav Dalet is 20. Hey Yud is what? 15. So how much do you have? 35. Now, Vav Aleph Vav. So you have 13. So what do you have? 45, 48. And Hey Yud is another 15. So what do you have? 63. Sag. This has to do with the world of Tayu, the world of chaos. And finally, the highest is Shem Av, 72. And here it's total Yuds. Yud Vav Dalet. Hey Yud. Vav Yud Vav. And Hey Yud again. So you have 72. So now, what is he saying here? When you read Hasidic texts, it's important to retain this information because these names are frequently quoted. Ban Sag Ma'av. What is he saying here? Adam, there is a physical man, but the highest form of Adam are the spheroids of Atzilus. The persona of Atzilus, the emanations, the divine emanation of Atzilus, that's Adam Ha'Elyon, Asha'ala Kisei, the supernal man on the throne, discussed in chapter 39, the throne is the world of Bria, and the Adam Ha'Elyon on the throne in Yecheskel's chariot is Shema. Then there is Behema Rabba, Sheimban Shalifnei Atzilus. There's that level of Das Ha'Elyon, a higher form of Das that transcends even the Adam of Atzilus. And it's called Behema, but it's Behema Rabba. It transcends infinitely the experience of Atzilus. Relative to Atzilus, it's a Behema, not because it's inferior to the awareness and spiritual sensitivity of Atzilus, because it transcends it. It can be that it has the foolishness of an animal, because it totally transcends the wisdom of Atzilus. Nonetheless, Kulam B'chachma Asisa. Even this one of the highest levels of spirituality, relative to the essence of Hashem, it's considered a beast in the sense that it's totally inferior, in the sense that it cannot grasp and retain the true transcendence and essence of Hashem. So Asaf is saying, Behemoisa Yisimach. What he's trying to say is, there's two forms of behemoths. There's the Jew who does a mitzvah, who celebrates Shabbos, who puts on tefillin, who sung an Adav and Ma'ariv, and just doesn't get it. He goes through the routines and experiences everything and follows the halacha, but he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand what is happening. And he doesn't melt away in love, and he doesn't melt away in awe. Then there's a Jew, that's one type of behemah. Behemoisa yisimach. Then there's a Jew who not only gets it, who gets it in a fashion that transcends even the experience in the world of Atzilus. And nonetheless, he's also behemos. Relative to what's really happening at the moment of a mitzvah, he's also a behemah. Relative to what is really going on from Hashem's perspective in his pure essence, he also doesn't get it. Even the highest spiritual experience is not a vessel to appreciate a mitzvah. Because a mitzvah is that essence of Hashem in whose presence everything is as though it's not. Even the highest form of Das. I told you once what Rabbi Yitzchak Baditshever said, that if they would bring in a tzitzit to Gan Eden, to paradise, the whole Gan Eden would burn. It would just burn down. Now, I'll ask you a question. We're all wearing tzitzis for 80, 90 years and nobody exploded yet. No. But in Gan Eden, they're sensitive. They know what tzitzis are. We have no problem. Right? We don't know one tzitzit. You can put on 100 tzitzis and nothing will happen. Then Gan Eden is Yitzira, Bria. Then there's Atzilus, and then there's Shem Ban Shalifnei Atzilus. And that's also a behemoth. So Asaf says, Behemoth Yisimach. He wants to say there are various forms of behemoths. And even the highest form can also be defined as a behemoth. And nonetheless, v'ani tamid imach, it doesn't diminish the impact, the intensity, the power, the nuclear intimacy that occurs during a mitzvah. And apparently, I would think that the reason Alter Rebbe adds this is that this tells us something. This demonstrates, it teaches us something. Since Hashem is infinite, as in His infinity consists of the fact that He's infinite, He's infinitely removed even from infinity. Hashem transcends even the highest levels of transcendence. He transcends even being transcendent. So therefore, Hashem can be experienced and can be connected even with somebody who is etched in the lowliest physical environment, and Hashem in His essence can connect with the most simple Jew who keeps Shabbos. If Hashem would be defined by transcendence, It would be difficult, so to speak, to understand how we can relate to a Jew who's totally down here. But since even the highest level of transcendence is a Behema Rabba, so Hashem, the highest spirituality and the lowest physicality is really identical. So that grants us a deeper understanding and appreciation of why Asaf says, V'ani tamid imach, I am totally with you. Have a good night and a wonderful week.
Posthumously awarded to whoever. It's like, you know, Lefemi here brought me back from the United States Mint. What was the Inya though?
I guess they wanted to show appreciation to him. The Congress wanted to show appreciation to him.
It says on an act of Congress, but how is it but in Chassidus, what's the Inya?
It wasn't done by Chassidim, it was done through the Congress.
It says Tikkun HaOlam in Hebrew.
Yeah, obviously they came to Chabad.
Yeah, but my question is, okay, but when this happened, there must have been things that the Mashpim were saying, you know, in Hasidus, you know.
It was a great thing because it was part of the ultimate purpose. The Rebbe's goal always was L'sakin Eilam B'malchus Shin Dalad Yud. Right? L'sakin Eilam B'malchus Shin Dalad Yud. So that's a significant step.
Meaning of Tikkun Olam.
Yeah. When an institution of that nature pays tribute to a man of that stature in spirituality, it's an accomplishment. I would think.
I mean that they were touched by his spiritual message and
decided that they have to honor it.
Yeah.
With the highest honor in the United States. It's one of the highest honors. I guess that's
okay.
Beyond that, Vesechrist.
So she did good too.
Noam Chomsky.
He did good also.
Yeah. I saw all these battles. It's there in a minute.
I mean, it's not taking away from what any of them did. Yeah.
No, of course.
Fine.
Okay, thanks a lot.
What's the first source of the four Shemus? Bansag was the first place it says.
In Tahiru Ilah. It's in the Tahiru Ilah. I think it's in the Arshi Yesh by Machshava. Tahiru Ilah. And what happens...
But what's the first sefer that it's brought, the four Shemus of Ban Sagmav? What's the first place?
The first sefer, that I don't know. But I mean, it's first Mekor in
Kabbalah.
It's earliest that I know of is the Hebrew law.
No, I'm saying you don't know which sefer.
No.
I'm looking which sefer it's mentioned the first time. I just couldn't find it.
Isn't it in the Zohar here and there?
It's in the Zohar, Mestama Baram. It's Mestama before the Zohar also.
Yeah, well, let's see. We have before the Zohar, Sefer Yetzirah.
Saying, I don't it's not a Sefer Yetzirah.
I never saw in Sefer Yetzirah. In the Bahir, I never really studied. I peeked out here and there. Maybe it's in the Bahir. I don't know.
Right here.
Okay. But, that's... I think I've seen it in the Zohar before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that's the main part of Shabbos. Well, it's and Shabbos is a mitzvah. Like you said, it's a mitzvah essay. Shabbos is an essay and has a love. Of course, yeah. You pagim in the kedusha of Shabbos. How can you be pagim in the kedusha? Because the kedusha is in your nefesh. You have a shaychus to the kedusha. If the nefesh of every Jew that wouldn't be married to Kedusha, do malacha for Naim Bismargen. That's why a non-Jew does malacha on Shabbos. It's not pagam in the Kedusha of Shabbos. Either is a Kedusha of Shabbos. But his malacha doesn't change that Kedusha. It doesn't affect it. Doesn't violate it. It doesn't damage it. But since his nefesh... why he brings the Shabbos and Chametz? It's a good shaila. Why does he bring the Afka Shabbos and Chametz? So why doesn't he say eating Treif? You want to know why? Yeah, Muktzent and Chametz is Mashim Sadr Rabbana. If you eat Chametz, Mashim is Chmedei Raisa. Since he compares it to Muktzah, upon him he means if it falls in and it's Tyruvus. It's not bottle yet. Usually it would be bottle Berayiv or at least bottle Beshishim. But it's not. The fact you're not allowed to eat chametz, the Rambam says clear that's Medeir Aisa. You're not allowed to eat a mashu chametz, Medeir Aisa. He brings a pasuk. Le'achel chametz. So the Kesef Mishnah says, what do you need a pasuk? Chatzi shir asim in ateda. Kesef Mishnah answers that a chiddush is a mashu chametz. Even a mashu you're not allowed to eat. So the Alter Rebbe, since he compares it to muktzah over here, I don't think he's talking about eating a mashu chametz. That's for sure you're not allowed. He's talking about a mashu chametz that falls in, that fell into the taruvus, and that's what you're eating. And that's only midrabanan. Midrabanan's bottle. It's nullified, yeah. And you could certainly have a gnaw from it. But midrabanan, they were machmer and everything. Chametz, they were machmer even a mashu. So he's, the reason he brings these two examples... The Rebbe wrote Rishimus Antanya in the early years, and they found it lately. They published it. Right. Yeah, and also in Shiurim B'Sefer Antanya, he also wrote Ha'aretz there. So there he writes a Geshmak Avart. He says that both of these in Yonim have a Tzad HaShava, Shabbos and Pesach. There are many opinions that the Isur Malacha on Shabbos and Isur Chametz bePesach is not an Isur Chefetz, it's an Isur Gavra. Chametz bePesach is a Shitta that since it's Mutter a whole year, so it's not that Chametz on Pesach is a Chefetz, it's an object that's forbidden. You're forbidden to eat Chametz, but Chametz is not a forbidden object. That's one opinion. One second. B'negei Shabbos also, it says in Yerushalmi, in Shabbos, Yerushalmi asks a question. Rabbi Yosef Engel, in Lekech Tov, has a whole shmuz on this. He brings a raya, it says in Yerushalmi, Masech to Shabbos, actually wrote it down. He brings in Yerushalmi, Masech to Shabbos, says, you can be Yotze the mitzvah with matzah gzula. If you steal matzah, you're not Yotze the mitzvah. What happens if a person makes kriya on Shabbos? Person rents the garments on Shabbos. He says, Yotzi de Chavis Kriya. Huh? No, but Yerushalmi wants to know what's the difference. Yerushalmi, what's the difference? You did the matzah through an Aveira, you stole the matzah, you're not Yotzi Mitzvah's matzah. You did the Kriya also on the Aveira. Why are you Yotzi Kriya? So Yerushalmi says, Kitamon hu gufa Aveira. Beram hache ihu de kavar Aveira. Matzah gzula, stealing is an aveira. Stolen matzah is not good. Here, there's nothing wrong with tearing. Tearing is not an aveira. You did the aveira, but the kriya is a good kriya. The kriya is a good kriya. Yeah. The garment has to be torn. It's fine. It's nothing wrong. Huh? But that's by matzah gzula. If it's matzah gzula, it's felt in the matzah. Since it's stolen matzah, it doesn't belong to you. It's not good matzah. It's forbidden matzah. Well, physically it's matzah, but it's not mitzvah's matzah. Huh? It's stolen.
No, tearing is makalku.
Kriya.
Regular, if you do it, it's makalku.
No, but over here it's makalku to do a mitzvah.
Right, but the Eitz Zach is doing something that if he wouldn't need it for Kriya, it would be Makalka. It wouldn't be.
Depends why. If you Kriya al Manas Litfer.
Yeah, but he's not doing al Manas Litfer.
But you're doing it al Manas Mitzvah. Even when you hit somebody just to get rid of your anger, it's considered mekalkel almanas livnas. You're gaining something out of it, so for sure. So Rabbi Yosef Engel brings that Shabbos, since a whole week, you're allowed to do a malacha, right? You're allowed to build, you're allowed to light a fire. So lighting a fire is nothing wrong with it. You're not allowed to light a fire on Shabbos. Iyu dekavar aveda. Then he brings rayas, also fakert, he brings rayas... that you have to have a Neir Sheshavas by Havdalah, even if a Nachri lit it on Shabbos, you can't use it, it has to be a Neir Sheshavas, so that's a right that it's an Isser Chefza. He goes both ways. The Maise is, the Chassam Sefer brings a very interesting night that Shabbos is an Isser Gavra, not an Isser Chefza. Why? The Gemara has a whole limo that Amir L'Nachri Shavus. You're not allowed to tell a guy to do a Malacha for you on Shabbos is an Isser Midirabon. Frederick Sam Sefer, what do you need by Shabbos? A special whole pilpul gemara that Amichil and Amiril and Achri Shavuos. Forget about that. In Ekol HaTeira Kula, Yesh Shlichus La'akum L'chumra. It's not Shlichus. When you ask a guy to do something for you, he's your Shliach. And L'chumra, we say that Yesh Shlichus, he's a good Shliach, Shluchit Shladim Kamais, he's just like you're doing the Malachi, you're not allowed to do it. What do you need a special din by Shabbos Amiril and Achri Shavuos? It should be Metam Shlichus. That's also true with Sam Sefer asks in Erechayim. You know what he says? He says, this is the vart. Mitzat shlichus, it wouldn't be a problem. Why would shlichus not be a problem? Because the thing that he's doing is not forbidden. And you're being shaivus, so why can't I make him a shliach? For him to do it is not a problem, because it's a guy doing it. Yeah. The thing that he's doing is not forbidden on Shabbos. Huh?
Person.
It's the person, and the person is not doing it. The person is not doing it. That's his svara. You understand? If you would send him on shlichus to do something that's be'etzem asur, and he's your shliach, and he's doing something that's forbidden. Let's say you would send him a shlichus to steal something. Gzela is a forbidden pula. So you're not doing it personally, but he's your shliach. Who's doing for you a forbidden pu'ula. Right. Here, he's not doing... Yes, shlichus la'akam l'chumra.
Yeah, but that's the
name
that he becomes
membership. It's as if... Whatever level it is. He says, Shabbos, that's not a problem. Why is it not a problem? Because the thing is not forbidden. So what's the problem? I'm being shavus. I'm not doing it. He's doing it. It's a guy doing it. He's doing it as my shliach. So what? Teira artechnisht if you do it. Teira artechnisht that that thing gets done. Teira art that you do it. That you're doing it. So he says, that's why you need Amir L'Nachri Shavuos. Amir L'Nachri Shavuos is a new limud. I'm not allowed to tell a guy to do it for me. I call upon him. Al Tereba brings these two to the Gemayas. The Alter Rebbe writes in Shulchan Aruch that Amir L'Nachri Shavuos is Metam Shlichus. He brings up Sarashi from Arashi. But there's such a shitta that Shabbos is from the Yerushalmi is Mashma that it's an Isser Gavra, not an Isser Chefza. So this makes the Pella much greater. If the whole Isser is an Isser Gavra, that means it's not that the thing is Be'etzim forbidden. On Shabbos, such a thing is forbidden. And when you do such a thing, you're damaging the Kedusha of Shabbos for whatever reason. No, that thing is fine. It's just you're not allowed to do it. There's a tzivui on you that you're not allowed to do such a thing on Shabbos. The thing can be done on Shabbos. No problem with that thing being done on Shabbos. Tearing, lighting a candle, boina, whatever it is. You are in a matzav that you can't do such a thing on Shabbos. You have to be in a certain matzav. So what's the vart? There's a certain kedusha. Your nefesh has a certain kedusha on Shabbos. And if you do certain things, you're violating the kedusha. The kedusha that's in you doesn't tolerate these types of activities on Shabbos. The Kedusha which in you is very sensitive, where you're taking it, what you're doing with it. The Kedusha in you is very allergic to certain types of activities. It has to be in shul, it has to be learning, it has to have a sudda, he was tining nigunim, whatever it is. But these things, it's allergic. The Kedusha in you is too sensitive. The Kedusha in you will be decimated, will be violated by doing this. So I'll say, Mela Tzadik, Talmud Chachem. Over there, the Isser Gavra is much worse. He feels the Kedusha, so when he does these types of things, he's much more sensitive. So the Aina should be more powerful. A Bur Namar, it's Gomer, it should be much less. So, Zag Dalter Rebbe, no, even in these that are Mamish and Isser Gavra, we say that the same devastation, the same Churban, the same allergicness that exists by the Tzadik exists by the Amar. It's why? Well, the Kedusha is Mamish, the Zelb, and the Gavra. The only Chilik is in Argasha. He says, not the Kedusha is the same. The Chilik is how much you feel it.
Beginning, he spoke about the Tadagomer,
but not the Shabbos. That's the Kedusha from.
It's the soul.
The
soul of the
Benny
is weaker than a Tadagomer.
It's all of Amor is a poor. The Neshama is a lower Neshama.
The
Neshama
is a lower Neshama.
The Neshama could be a higher Neshama. It matters how you. Ain't a Chanami, but it can also be that a Benny has a lower Neshama than a Tzaddik. But here we're talking about another Vart. We're not talking about the Kedusha of a Neshama. We're talking about the Kedusha of a Mitzvah. And that's Torah Achas LeKolana. That's the chiddush of Torah Achas LeKolana. That is the kedushas hamitzvahs is the same for every yid. The light of the mitzvah, not your light. The light of the mitzvah. Asher kedushano b'mitzvah isav. The kedusha of the mitzvah is by the Moshe Rabbeinu who puts on tefillin like every yid who puts on tefillin. Moshe Rabbeinu's own neshama, his own understanding, his own ruchnius. That's of course much higher. But here's not negay, you're feeling it. Here's negay.
But it's saying it's made by Kedusha Shabbos. It's something else that's made in the Shabbos.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So even though your neshama is lower,
but what does it mean it's made in the neshama when you don't feel nothing? But
the neshama does feel it. The mitzvah the goof, you don't feel it. The neshama does feel it.
You don't feel that
because you feel your goof. When somebody punches you, you feel it. You feel your goof. When somebody punches you in a shama, you don't feel it.
It doesn't feel it.
But if he does a malacha, because the kedusha that's in him.
It was violation.
It was sensitive to the malacha, just like it's sensitive in the tzaddik's life.
Yeah, but you're talking about for Einish. Einish is a punishment. This guy didn't do the same. A tzaddik is going to be smoke a cigarette in Shabbos. So he's saying it's the same thing.
If they smoke a cigarette, they did the same thing. As far as the b'gam and the kedusha.
Yeah, but
the same churban they did.
But why should the Einish?
And that's why the Einish is the same. The Einish is always l'fiyarech ha-b'gam. Depends how you teach Einish. There's different argus. You can teach an Einish, but Pashtus, Balabatish, the Einish is that if a person, and Chassidus is a whole beer on this, why is there Einish Misa? There's a whole beer, the Rebbe once explained why there's no prison, there's no Einish of prison in Halacha. Why not? In our system, every year, Gleich gave me in prison. So he says, by Torah, there's no such a thing, Yistam punish. Punishment has a tachlis. A person damaged his neshama or his guf in a severe way. The punishment allows himself to rehabilitate himself and continue to live a life that's consistent with who he is and with his purpose. Certain sins damage the soul so deeply that it cannot recover from it. So the soul, to continue living in this world, will be l'loy tachlis. And therefore, the only tikkun for it is to pass away, to continue living somewhere else. Because in this world, it can't redeem itself. He says, prison, what are you doing to it? You're just punishing a person. You can't let him do anything. Torah can't tolerate that. You have to give him an ayish. He should be able to continue doing his tachlis in the world. But you're robbing him from doing anything, from being productive. So that's one way you could look at it, that it damages the nefesh so deeply that there's an iser skila. Or you could look at it, the pashtus, that the begam in the nefesh is so powerful that the only way to cleanse it is through misa. The deepest way you could look at it is that it says that all the einshim are a teitzah tivis from the avera. There's such a begam in the nefesh, there's such a begam in the gedushas ha-nefesh, so the result is... The result is chorus. No, that's the chiddush. If it would be an isser cheftza, mekal shekem v'kal v'chaymer. No. So it's a chavsul be much easier to understand. Because this thing cannot be done on Shabbos. Whoever does it, I don't care who does it, but you're destroying something in the Welt. A candle can't be lit on Shabbos. A cigarette can't be smoked. Here I'm saying, no, it could be smoked. You're not allowed to smoke it. So we have to look at the you. The you of a boor is the much lower you, and that's the chiddush that even... That's how the Rebbe teaches why he brings these two degrees. And then he's meisiv that an issa chefts is for sure an issa gavra. Yeah, but the question is if it begins with the, but an issa gavra is not an issa chefts. Rabbi Yosef Engel's taina is, I think this is the svaras of machlekes of chamas shavar alav pesach is also mid eraisa mid rabbanu. If you say chametz avar olav pesach is asur mid eraisa, it's because chametz is a forbidden object, so avar olav pesach, but it's forbidden. Einachanami became forbidden on Pesach, but it became forbidden. If you say it's an isur gavra, it never became forbidden. I'm forbidden to eat it on Pesach because of a certain oyer that exists on Pesach, but the chametz is fine. So after Pesach, what do you want from it? The isur went off me, so I can eat it. This man changed. Huh? So Rabbananam gekansent, but that's a different gedda, that's a knas. But if you say chametz shavah lev pesach asur medayis, it's because chametz is asur. It became a forbidden object. It doesn't become mutter after the time leaves. I'm just bringing out. Then the Alter Rebbe is meisiv mashu chametz until til muktzah. It's really also Pesach and Shabbos. Weiter muktzah Shabbos and mashu chametz is Pesach. But why does he have to add something? Because it's mit Rabbanan. You'll say like this: Torah wasn't mechalak, but the Rabbanan we are mechalak. So the chiddush is even mitzivuyim the Rabbanon are rechen zich not with feelings. They rechen zich with the essential kedusha in the nefesh of a yid. The chacham are sensitive to that level of a Jew. You would say Tayna is sensitive to that level, but the chachamim, they already deal with feelings. So the chiddush is even the chachamim, they also deal with the essential mitzivus of a yid. That's a day that it's chefza. It's an idea that it's chafetza. It's not negeya. Could be the Alter Rebbe holds it's an issa chafetza. That's not negeya to us. Could be he personally holds it it's an issa chafetza. But the reason he brings this, the Gemara says that even according to the shittas that it's an issa gavra.
Why the question of Shabbos chayim on
it's too much for
why goyish shavas chayiv misa? Yeah, obviously, he can smoke on Shabbos. It doesn't about bad. His soul is not sensitive to smoke on Shabbos. You know. Different type of nefesh, and this nefesh, yeah, and whatever. But nefesh b'amis also has a nitzutz toiv. But even this nitzutz toiv on Shabbos doesn't mind smoking.
If you say goy because he doesn't have the nefesh, so why he doesn't have the nefesh of a yid? So what is the every nefesh of a yid, regardless from bor and amon? So
when Shabbos comes, the nefesh is transformed.
Because nefesh alakis.
The nefesh alakis is transformed. It becomes a different. It's but living in a different world.
But again, you said it's the feeling.
It's the feeling also. The goof doesn't let you feel it. The goof doesn't let you feel it.
But even if, let's say, someone, Amaronis, let's say, became, he, it's Chayzgabe,
he would feel it.
He would feel what it's how it feels? It's how the nefesh?
Not necessarily, no.
Oh, so it's only it's how the Shabbat.
Yeah.
So it's not pagan with the nefesh.
Yeah. And this Indian is a mitzvah. The Rebbe goes on Maritz Gomer, but there are many Jews who are not tzaddikim, and Shabbos they feel differently. They just feel differently. Huh? No, what does it have to do? What do you think it has to do with? Because in Shabbos there's a certain gedusha in the atmosphere of the world, and your nefesh is sensitive to that gedusha, and it feels it. The nefesh feels hecher. The nefesh, you relate to what I'm saying. The nefesh feels holier.
I know both. I've been with two Hasidic rabbis, and I've also been living with the people Chutz Lachet. And I can tell you the people...
The nefesh feels a certain fulfillment that it doesn't feel a whole week. Shcheira Niva Nava. What's the fulfillment? It's in touch with this Kedusha, Elikiz, that it doesn't have a whole week. It's like... It like gets a whole other type of food.
I certainly can't give you any chazal. I certainly can't give you the gemara's like this. But I can tell you that which is prime concern during the week somehow is diffused on Shabbos. And I'm talking about people that are in shul tachto. I know both. Okay. And, by the way, I mean also if you want to be a little bit more markish, whatever you do in Davodah during the week, there's something that Tanugim on Shabbos with the Nigunim, being around Chassidim by the Rebbes, you know, and like this.
Actually, so afterwards, no? Someone is already the first time he's Michal Shabbos, after that he's already Mishdom, the Gam of the Nefesh, because he has the Kodesh already, so maybe it's not the same Nefesh, it's not the same Gam of the Nefesh.
But in the condition, the condition is there.
No, but the Nefesh, it's not the Gam of the Nefesh.
And once so far, the Gemara says that Ilmalay, yeah.
It's like it's Lardo to say Lardo. I mean, it's still Lardo to say Gaga. But it's not the same Nefesh, it's not the Nefesh of Yiddish. It's Kodesh.
Why? Every time. But there's no difference if you are alive with Shams 3 times.
I once saw Varda. The Gemara says that Ilmali Meshamin Yisrael Shtei Kabbasas Kilchasan. If you didn't observe 2 Shabbosas, like Allah, Miyadheim Nigalim, they'll right away be redeemed. What's the kasha? Was it 2 Shabbosas? I mean, that's it. Just 2 Shabbosas. I don't know. Perhaps I want somebody at a Shabbaton. At a Shabbaton, when somebody said a vart, it was a geshmak of vart. He said that it's not a vart. Once you keep 2 Shabbosim kilchasam, you can't not keep Shabbos again. Once you try out Shabbos twice and you experience Shabbos twice, that's it. You're addicted. Here, the Rebbe doesn't get into the positive because it's not negated to this Perek in Tanya, but obviously, there is not doing certain things not to violate the Kedusha, and then there is doing certain things to bring out the Kedusha, to experience the Kedusha. Okay, Shine. A gute Nacht. Ah? Yeah, as I guess. I have to look it up.
Okay.
I hope maybe there's a nachamal. Okay. So I guess it. Is what? Yeah. The Mekosha Sheitzim was the second Shabbos in the Midbar. There were no Shtei Shabbos Kilchasan. It's Be'emes and Lekut HaTeira, there's a similar word. Lekut HaTeira Bahar, the Rebbe says, what Shtei Shabbos? Because in one place it says Shabbos Achas, you know. In Bavli in Yerushalmi. There ain't no Shtei Shabbos Achas. One place says Shtei Shabbos. So the Rebbe says, in each Shabbos there are 2 Pchinas. The Shabbos Tata and Shabbos Ilah. So he says, if Yidden would observe 1 Shabbos, but the Shabbos would have 2 Shabbos, Miyadim Nigal. If you have not only Shabbos Tata, but Shabbos Ilah, he goes a whole arichas what the 2 Shabbos are.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.